we jump into the sermon this morning, this has been quite a week in our world. We're all very familiar with the events in Paris, but to assume that it's only taking place in Paris is to be a little short-sighted. In Kenya, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Turkey, there have been earthquakes in Japan and in Mexico. And I came across a poem this morning that struck me. And it simply said this: later that night, I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, "Where does it hurt?" It answered, "Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere." And so before we get into the sermon this morning, can we just have a time of just silent prayer? And the part of the globe that is breaking your heart this morning, just lift it up. Our God is big enough to hear all our prayers at the same time, and he cares even more deeply than we do. So let's spend some time just simply praying for our hurting world. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Some sermons are tremendously theoretical. This isn't going to be one of those sermons. We are in the third week of our series called The Thanksgiving Experience, where we've been asking the question, what if Thanksgiving was more than a single day? And we've been trying to find ways for us to practice gratitude and gratefulness on a daily basis. What would our lives look like? How different would our lives be if we routinely practiced gratefulness and thankfulness? And so that's been our desire. Through this series, the first week, we looked at how do we give thanks to God using Psalm 136 as our guide. Last week, we wrestled with the difficulty of thanking God in the midst of great struggle, which turned out to be a very appropriate sermon leading into the week that we've just experienced. Well, this morning, we're going to be looking at thankfulness in a little bit of a different way. The Apostle Paul is quite possibly the most influential follower of Jesus in all of human history. He wrote over half of the New Testament. He is one of the greatest missionaries of all time. Our understanding and theology of grace is, we owe a lot to Paul and what he teaches us about free grace. If you read the letters of Paul in the New Testament, there's a couple things that you'll automatically notice. You will notice that Paul is a tremendously passionate individual. He loves Jesus Christ deeply and has a habit for run-on sentences. If you are an English teacher, you hate Paul. Give that man a period or at least a semicolon every now and again. But you'll also notice as you read through the writings of Paul that he is an individual that is tremendously grateful. In fact, in his letters, the word thanks or a version of the word thanks shows up at least 30 times. And the thing that Paul is routinely thankful for is other people. It's interesting, if you read through his letters, and I'm just going to give you a snapshot of some of it. As you read through his letters, this is what you see. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I thank my God every time I remember you and all of my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the following of our Master, Jesus Christ, before God, our Father. Night and day, I mention you in my prayers. I am always grateful for you as I pray to the God my ancestors and I have served with a clear conscience. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. You read through Paul's letters, Paul's writings, and you see that he is time and time again thankful for other people. And I wonder, are we like Paul? Who are the people in your life that you are intentionally thankful for? And if I were to start writing down the names of the people that I am thankful for, near the top of the list would be Mary Ann Agee. Mary Ann Agee was a woman that lived in Pinole, California, down the Bay Area, and she had neighbors to her right, a young family, husband, wife, two kids, and she prayed for that family over and over and over again. And as she got to know them, she was trying to care for them, and she was inviting them to church, and she was praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. And she came to discover that this family was going through really, really hard times. The relationship between the husband and wife, not good. But she kept on praying, and she kept on caring, and she kept on inviting them to her church. And I would love to stand before you and say, and because of her faithfulness and prayer, the marriage was healed, and that family of four is together. But that's just not how that story turned out. Like so many other stories, the husband ended up leaving. And so now Mary Ann was the neighbor of a single mom with two elementary school-aged kids. But she kept on praying, she kept on praying, she kept on caring, she kept on caring, she kept on inviting them to her church. And eventually, the single mom began going to Mary Ann's church. And it was about that time that Mary Ann's neighbor, that single mom, met a single dad who had two kids of his own. And if it sounds like the Brady Bunch, well, kind of. And those two started playing tennis together, and one thing led to another, and they fell in love. And this single dad had two boys, and pretty soon it was, instead of two families of three, it was a family of six, and they were all going to church, and one by one, they all gave their lives over to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to Mary Ann Agee because my dad married Mary Ann Agee's neighbor. And if it wasn't for Mary Ann Agee, I'm probably not standing here this morning. Because if it hadn't been for her, I don't know if I ever would have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be here. The thing is, every person in this room this morning has a Mary Ann Agee. Because there's not a single person in here that wasn't at some point invited to church. Maybe it was your mom and dad, and you weren't so much invited, you were just like, let's go. But because of them, you heard the good news of Jesus. I mean, left to our own, we probably would not have gotten up on a rainy Sunday morning and showed up here if it hadn't been for your Mary Ann Agee. So here's what I need for you to do. You've got these. I'm going to give you a head start on this week's exercise of thankfulness. So grab your little packet, take out one card. And on that card, I need you to write down the name or maybe names of your Mary Ann Agees. For me, it would be Mary Ann Agee, Jeff Hicks, Jim Colton. Three hugely influential people in bringing me to know Jesus. So, write down the name or names of the people that are responsible for the fact that you started going to church and you started hearing about Jesus. Because everybody's got at least one Mary Ann Agee. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this morning. Go. You've got about 20 seconds. All right. Just realized, if I'm going to ask you to do it, I better do it. All right. I'm going to start with this section. I just need to hear a couple of the names. Keep going. Keep loud.
Donald and Rick Burnett.
We are not.
All right. Here, let's hear some names. What'd you write down? Oh, loud, so everyone can hear. Who said mom? Rock on. I love that. Okay, someone in the middle. What name you write down?
Stella.
So, your mom?
Greg West.
Greg West.
John Fink.
John Fink. Rock on. All right, here we go. Somebody. You know, we've just been singing a lot of praise songs. This is fitting right in that vein. Because just calling out these names is praising the faithfulness of God. All right, the box seats right here.
Grandma,
mom, and dad. Who? All right, all right. Now here's the go. Your cards are still out. Oh, wow. Upset that one to Ruth already. Okay. On that same card, time to add some more names. Because we're thankful for those people that were influential in getting us towards Jesus. But there are other people in our lives that we're thankful for. Who are those people? A family member? A neighbor? Your kids' teachers? A coworker? A friend? We're to write down 10 things every day if we're doing this thankfulness experience. The goal is write down 10 things every day. I'm giving you a huge head start. Fill the card. Start writing down names until you have at least 10 total names on this piece of paper. Go. Now here comes the question. What do we do with this? I mean, you got at least 10 names down. That's great. What do you do with this? Well, this is the moment that you go back to the Apostle Paul. We're using him as the example of someone that is grateful for other people. So then you look at the Apostle Paul and go, okay, so what did he do to show his gratefulness, his thankfulness for other people? Well, we got the prayer part. We don't have a lot of details, but we know this. He wrote them a letter. Those books in the Bible that Paul wrote, they were letters. Paul wrote them and said, I really appreciate you. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your witness. I'm thankful for the way that you love. I'm thankful the way that you pray for us and care for us. He wrote them a letter. And, as we heard right over there, he prayed for them. Those are the two things we know for certain that Paul did to show his gratitude, his gratefulness for the people in his life. He wrote them, and he prayed for them. So what do you think our job is this week? Write them. I would circle the name of the person that was responsible for you coming to church and go, I'm going to write them a letter. Now, some of you might be going, they're with Jesus. They're already gone. Two ideas. One, write them a letter anyway. You'll be amazed at what it does for your heart. As we talked about the first week of the series, showing gratefulness is good for us. It's healthy, relationally, physically, spiritually. It's healthy for us. So go ahead and write the letter anyway, as if they were next door. Or, and I had a friend do this once. I gave this challenge to someone a number of years ago. And he says, you know what? The person that was most influential in bringing me to know Jesus is in heaven. I go, hey, try this. Write a letter to their son or their daughter and saying, you know what? This is how much your dad meant to me. This is what your dad did to me. This person ended up becoming a private detective of sorts because he had to find out where this individual lived, find out their address, and he worked really diligently, sent a letter to them saying, this is what your dad did for me, and I'm so thankful for your dad. And they ended up building a relationship, and that young person was really, really blessed to hear about the influence their dad had had on somebody else's life. You could do that. Write a letter. If you're more comfortable with a text or an email, fine. Be intentional. Be intentional. Write at least one person this week saying, you know what? I am so thankful for you. The other part is pray. Now, I don't know how you've been using your cards. This is the way that we've been using the cards at our house is those nights that we're all together for a meal, we sit down and we do this first. And then grace for us has simply been reading these aloud as a thankfulness to God for whatever happens to be on here. You could do that every night this week. Just pray for these folks. Pray for these folks. And if you think, wait a second, like I mentioned before, this person is already in heaven. So what's stopping you for thanking God for those individuals? God, thank you for the gift of this person. I was telling my dad about this last year, about Mary Ann Agee, and he goes, I finally called my dad. I said, Dad, I need Mary Ann Agee's address. And he goes, I can do you one better. What, are you going to deliver her to me? I was like, he goes, she's staying with us right now, and we're putting her, she's getting on the train in Martinez tonight at 11. I'm there. I jumped in my car. I drove down to the Martinez train station, and there sat with Mary Ann Agee and said, Mary Ann, I am so thankful for you. I hadn't seen Mary Ann Agee in 20, 30 years, but I sat down with her in the train station in Martinez and went, Mary Ann, I am so thankful for you. This is what you did in my life. And as a result of what you did, your faithfulness to pray and invite someone to church and to care for a neighbor, as a result, thousands of people have heard about Jesus Christ because of you. And I'm so thankful for you. And she tried to brush it off, you know, she's just this tremendous, humble woman. I go, no, stop. This is your moment just to hear that I really appreciate you. And don't push it to the side. You can do that when you get on the train. And we just sat together, and then she prayed for me. It's like, gosh. Because I'm sure that the prayers of Mary Ann Agee just have like a super fast line to heaven. So you know what you're supposed to do now. Identify who you're thankful for, and then let them know. And pray for them. And you might be thinking, what? That's it? Ooh. If you've got the, well, that's it? That's it for the sermon? I think you greatly underestimate the power of being grateful. You can change someone's day. You can open up the opportunity to share good news. Last month, our sermon series was on the great commandment to love God and love our neighbor. Too often, we are content with the theoretical. It's like, yes, that's a good idea. No, it's something we're supposed to do. And this is a way to do it. A practical way to actually love your neighbor is to show them how much you appreciate them. And just say thank you and to pray for them. I have two daughters that are away at school, which means I spend time talking with the financial aid offices at North Park University and Eastern Washington University. And anyone that knows me knows I hate is a strong word. Anyone that knows me knows I hate dealing with financial stuff. I think I'd rather take a golf tee and hammer it into my ear with a snow globe. I would rather build IKEA furniture than than deal with financial stuff. But it's something you have to do. And I got to tell you, the good people at North Park University in their financial aid office, not the friendliest individual I've ever met. Now, granted, I'm inept when it comes to these kind of things, so I'm not helping the situation. That and my daughter, who's in her senior year, spent the last year and a half studying in Botswana and in Mexico, so she hasn't even been on campus for a year and a half. So we bring a unique set of circumstances into our financial aid discussions. I'm not good at it. My daughter's been away. It's been a disaster. And so my daughter's been going into the office. I've been calling, and it's... she just isn't the friendliest person. Well, we finally got everything taken care of. The next day, I got a phone call from my daughter. And she goes, Dad, it occurred to me why the woman in the financial aid office is not nice. I go, what? She goes, how often do people go in there with a smile on their face? How often are people actually thankful for her? How often do people encourage her? The child teaches the father. She goes, so this is what I did, Dad. I went and got a thank you card. And I walked into her office. And when she saw me coming, she had a look on her face like, you're back. I thought we were done. And so I went up to her and I gave her the card. I said, I just want to say thank you for the way that you helped us get all of this sorted out. She said, Dad, she just teared up. And I thought to myself, this might be the first time anyone's ever given her a thank you card. And she was just sitting there all teared up and she started giving me Halloween candy. If your response to the sermon this morning is, that's it, you underestimate the difference you can make in a life. We are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And one very, very practical and powerful way you can do it is by saying to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your spouse, thank you. And spend this entire week praying for them. Join me in prayer, please. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. And God, I thank you for the fact that you did not create us to go through life alone. You created us to be in relationship with other people, and that includes all these people that you've put into our lives. God, they are a gift to us, every one of them created in your image. God, help us this week. Just give us a heart of gratitude this week for the people that you have put into our lives. Father, may we daily give thanks to you for the gift they are in our lives, and may we have the humility to go before them and say thank you for the difference you're making in my life. And Father, use those offerings of thanks and praise to shine the light on you. We pray this all in your Son, Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.